just for those that are new, these are campfire conversations. These aren't teaching moments or book reviews or things like that. These are just conversations as men gather around the campfire just to discuss, hey, what's going on in your life? We've got Kevin. He's going to open up his story to us tonight. And as he opens up his story, often God is talking to us about our own story. So it's not just about Kevin, but we have a common father, and we want to hear about what's going on in his life, and we also have a common enemy. And so often when we discuss things that where we've been opposed, we often can identify that in our own life. So just in the sense of a conversation, we have just another real brother here, just like us, on the line today. I met him up at an exploration weekend we did in Colorado in the beginning of December. And we, on the flight home, got to sit next to each other for a couple hours and talk. And when Kevin started to talk, I could relate so much to what this guy is going through. I've been there. He leads a thing called The Barn. He's one of the guys that has started this thing and oversees it. And it's an independent men's ministry where 40 guys sometimes show up in the, once a week in the evening. And I did a similar thing. And so we had very common experiences. And I thought it would be wonderful to hear from him tonight and just have him share a little bit about what God's been doing in his life. So, Kevin, first of all, I would just like to say welcome aboard, a big warm welcome. It's great to have you.
Thanks, Jeff. It's great to be here. It really is. You know, I guess, on the story, you know, I've always feel a little funky when to tell your story. But, you know, as we were on the plane and how I just was trying to express some of the things that we've been able to experience and what God's done, you know, I guess it a lot of this started in March of 2005 after going through a couple of the retreats out in Colorado with Ransom Heart, where I'd initially met Gary. And coming back after the first one in 2004, really getting taken out, you know, knowing that something had happened in my heart, didn't really know how to navigate it or what to do with it, went back for another big drink in January of 2005 and came back. And I just knew that I wanted to do something. I wanted to share this experience that I'd had, you know, seeing these guys on the stage walking in that fellowship in the community and the awakening and healing that, you know, that journey that I seem to have been able to start on. And so part of my story there, you know, just, you know, I probably jumped ahead a little bit on the barn side, but that's where the barn all started. And, you know, my story prior to that was growing up in an institutional, you know, denominational church where I knew a lot about religion, didn't know a whole lot about a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I'm sure there's a lot of guys that are listening that could relate to that. And really just navigating, you know, against the hypocrisy that seemed to be so prevalent in a lot of church. And there's a lot of stuff that just kept me away. But coming back to the Lord in 1990 and experiencing a foxhole type deal with some men, it kind of reignited something in my heart. You know, I really started developing a relationship, but there was still a lot of performance involved in that. The pastor actually did a thing called Real Men, and there were 200 guys that went to it. And I thought, I can't remember anything that the pastor ever said, but I just thought it was really cool that 200 guys would get together every week just to be together and to be a part of something. They wanted to improve their lives and do something really great. And after the pastor stopped leading it, you know, it was supposed to continue. And the very first week after he stopped leading it, we went from 200 guys to 75. And then we went down to 30. And it turned out to where there was eight of us. We had a little foxhole out there that met every Wednesday night. And that was really my first experience of walking with other guys. And so I didn't know it then, But that started something in me. So when that got taken away, I longed for it, and I didn't even realize I was longing for it. And until getting a hold of some of this message through Gary and the Ransom Heart team, that brought it all back, and it was raw and relevant, and it was exactly what I needed at that time in my life when I was about 41 years old, and had a young son, and really didn't know what direction to go in, and it was a great compass for me.
Yeah, you know, it's so interesting. There's when we get the life of God in this, there's just something in us that just wants to circle up with other men. You know, I could just imagine the draw to a place where 200 guys are meeting. And, you know, what's amazing is that the numbers went from 200 to 75 to eventually down to 8. And you could talk about that in the negative, but that's actually a good thing, you know. You know, because that's when you can finally get face to face, right? And talk and be heard, and actually add your voice, to a particular meeting. And, you know, I see that as such a good thing. And then that goes away. And I'm trying to read into your story a little bit. Was that then recovered, by going out to Ransom Heart and experiencing, the retreat?
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Friend of mine, who was best man in my wedding, had told me about the book Wild at Heart, and he had never done that before. I read it and tried to get out there as soon as I could, and had never experienced, you know, Colorado or anything before. And so, you know, there was just such an authenticity to that message, and then, you know, just on a personal level. With the message and the guys, it just hit home with me to see guys out there from 18 to, you know, 70, you know, every walk of life, and there wasn't a whole lot of masking going on. It was just raw, and it lanced my heart again. And you're right about the small number. That is where that small foxhole. The beautiful thing about that, here I was, kind of a new believer in that particular point in time, and we had several other young guys. You know, I was in the singles group back then, and it was, you know, a couple elders, you know, there. And so we had guys that were from all walks, and we would share stories. Imagine that. It was great. And so, as I said, once losing that and then regaining that, and then it was kind of funny that when we started at the barn, it was 8 guys, and you know, some guys that I had met at another really small event, and so we started going through the series there, and really said, you know, I knew that it was something I was supposed to do because I wanted to share that awakening of the heart, the healing, the restoration, the true identity and calling with others, and what happened there. I said, God, you know what, if it's just you and me here, it's okay. And there were some nights that, you know, nobody was there at 7 o'clock, 7:15, 4 or 5 guys would show up. We'd have a great meeting, you know, just sharing stories and, you know, follow the guideline there. And I had no idea that 6.5, 7 years later that we would even be doing this, or even be thinking about calling something a ministry. You know.
Yeah. Okay. So just to give me a timeline here, was it Ransom Heart and then the barn, or did the barn start first?
No. I went to my first boot camp in May of 04, went back in January of 05, came back, started the barn in March of 2005. And truly by the seat of my britches, not knowing what, not having a clue what I was doing or what the Lord was going to do. Yeah.
And then you talked about going through a series. Did you go through the DVD series that Ransom Heart put out?
That's exactly what we did. We did the DVD series. Yeah. Then we after that, we watched the HBO Band of Brothers, you know, followed the suggestions and just, as I said, by the seat of my britches. And then just started hearing and seeing changes happening in guys' life. Other people heard about it, and people started showing up. And just over the years, from local congregations, guys that people knew where guys were walking alone, hey, you ought to go check this out. Different things like that. Guys in coffee shops. I call him my wingman. I'm really his, but he's really come along side by side with me over the last 5.5 years. He just kind of came in out of the blue, Haynes Maxwell, and kind of invited himself to the barn and said, hey, I heard something was going on there. Can I come? And he came and took it back to his church, did it a couple times, then was gone for about 6 months, came back, and he's been back ever since. And he's truly just a wonderful brother and someone that the Lord has really brought into my life. And he's just one of them, but he is definitely a cornerstone of what's happening at the barn as well.
Yeah, that's another wonderful spiritual concept going on. A Sam Wise comes in, along with you.
Yeah.
You can't do it alone. You need a partner. And just going back for a minute on the series, the DVD series from Ransom Heart, that was a profound series, but it's so funny looking at it today because those guys look so young now, you look at Gary now and John, you go, man, what happened, they look so young back then, man. I love going back and look at it. It was an amazing series. I think that had just as much transforming effect on guys' lives as the actual retreat did sometimes, we wound up doing the same thing. And I don't know what was better, going through that DVD series or sitting there and going through the Band of Brothers, from HBO. I think they were equally as good. Something was happening with this idea of men getting together and just coming and watching and experiencing something together, and then at the end of it, talking, and each of them lending their own voice to it, it's beautiful.
And I think that it's – The guidelines, of doing it just kind of takes you out of that typical men's Bible study mentality. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but, our mantra is no fixing, no teaching, no counseling, no preaching, listen well, And man, it's amazing what happens when you give that some room.
Yeah. Wow. Well, that's awesome. And just to hear your story about what God has developed in you in the sense of, you go from the 200, you see men getting together. There was some, it sounds like, some performance with that. But then moving into the foxhole and then years later are going to Ransom Heart and seeing it from a totally different perspective, instead of the sin less, try harder, give more, more on this adventure and journey with God, it's an interesting story you've got going on there. But let me ask you something, Kevin, about what draws you to men and things like that. What was your relationship like with your dad?
My dad, he's 86 years old. He's a great man, and we have a really good relationship now. Not that our relationship was ever bad, but there was, growing up, the third child, my story's like a lot of folks. There wasn't a whole lot of connection, and there's still some disconnect, and we can relate, but, I've learned over the years that, he couldn't give me what he didn't have to give. But he gave so much of himself, and so I've been able to observe and recognize those good points and what he passed on, and I'm trying to do that with my 12-year-old, and also walking through and not denying some of the things that didn't happen, acknowledging them, trying to break those agreements and not live out of that anymore. Which has been, that's the struggle. I think that's every man's struggle, is to believe more about what's not true than what's true. And
right.
So he's come along you know, he doesn't totally under, he doesn't totally get what we do, but he sees the fruit of it and he loves it. So, you know, we, he was director of a juvenile diagnostic center, you know, probation officer. So he only said things once. So coming up, things were pretty strict around the household. And once again, growing up in a very religious type family, you know, they're believers. My dad's a Bible scholar, and but, you know, just conveying that relationship aspect of Jesus was not something that really happened within our family. And so this whole mm-hmm. message has been a bridge for that for me in a big way.
Yeah. Okay, just going back for a minute, as to what you're saying men struggle with most is the truth about you're saying about who God is and then who they are. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, well, I would say, you know, I think we spend a part of our lifetime hearing and one experience, and I think that that's part of this, the calling message, the awakening of the heart is we wake up and to find out, you know, the truer things about us, and I think the struggle is to believe more about the good than what's not good, and the focus, unfortunately, these days seems to be on the bad things, and you know, I don't know if that makes sense or not.
It definitely does, and I would love to open that up and talk about it. And so let's maybe come back to that. I've got to check on that. What I'd love to ask you on the timeline here of what happens is, did you guys hook up with Michael Thompson and Top Gun when you got the cave going, or excuse me, the barn going?
Yeah. Haynes Maxwell is, you know, he's a guy that, and we've both done some of this, but he more so than I, he'll see a guy in a coffee shop. He sees a guy alone and he is out there and he chases emails, and somehow, some way he came across, this thing with Michael's email, Zoe. And, so some of the guys found out about, they do their Top Gun, up at, Lake Rock or Camp Rock Ridge in Goshen, Virginia. And so I think the first time any of our guys went up there was, I think it was in 2007 or 2008. And so we got to meet Michael and Tom and Jay and Jim and JB, and just great guys. And you know, we usually take 15 to 20 guys every year from the barn up there, because it's a little closer for us. But, you know, Michael's been a great ally and has been very supportive. We've had him down to the barn, and I just love what those guys are doing and the scale at which they're doing it. And, you know, he's just been very encouraging for us too, you know, because, you know, there's times when you say, okay, I want to do what those guys are doing, you know, whether it be Michael or whether it be the Ransom Heart guys or something like that. But as I get further in this, I see that we just having the weekly initiative is an extremely hard thing for most people to have. And the sustainability of it isn't something that comes easy. And it seems like that God has opened that door for us. And so I'm really pleased about that. But yeah, Michael Thompson and those guys have been great.
Yeah. That definitely, that support and having those guys there, and that you're not the only ones, you know, on the East Coast doing something as large as what Michael has done. You know, he's a state away for me, and yet he has been an incredible support for our little community up here. We've had him up several times too, and so just staying connected on the East Coast here has been so vital. I don't know where I'd be without him, having
right.
Had his friendship, you know, and so yeah. It was absolutely
and,
critical.
Yeah, and it's been good. You know, there's a couple others. You know, there's several guys, you know, in our area that have been, you know, we've had over and supportive that are walking in this message, and so I try to glean whatever I can for them, from them, and learn and And so you know, all of them have been very supportive. New Wilderness and Dangerous Heart and some of these other guys, just awesome men. And glad to have them over here as part of the Eastern Allies.
Okay, so in kind of in your timeline of things now, you go out to Ransom Heart, and then you have Gary now come back years later and come in for a calling retreat. What was your idea behind that? Was it just that, hey, we could get Gary here, this would be good? Or did you see something amongst your men that said to you, it would be good to have Gary here because we could use a little help on our calling? What was going on with the invitation to have Gary come out?
Well, you know, part of the deal with me is I was always one of those guys that felt like I wanted to talk to these guys in leadership that were up there on it, and I was the guy that never did, and you know, I kicked myself in the butt for that. And for some reason, it was a little over a year ago where I emailed Gary and just said, hey, man, if you get some time, I'd love to talk to you. And he's just very gracious, said, you know, I'm not too busy. And we talked for about an hour. And you know, I shared the story of the barn, and he was, you know, seemed to be pretty fascinated with what was going on. And so to move on to the answer to your question, I didn't really have a thought of doing a calling event at that time, but I also knew we had been doing the Wild at Heart and Fathered by God, and just, you know, we navigate through movie clips, just walking in this message for a long time, and it's great. But then I'm sitting here and seeing the fallout from the economy, and marriage is taking hits, and you know, when your marriage is taking a hit and you lose your job, you start questioning who you are, your own identity, and so your relationship with God wanes in a big way. And so, you know, it was truly, you know, a picture of guys not knowing who they were, and they had no idea where they were. And I said, wow, what a great message to bring in, and how timely would this be? And so, you know, that picture of, you know, at the mall with the thing saying, you are here. There's so many guys, and I've been through it over the last 4 or 5 years myself, had no idea. We were just in a tailspin. And so threw out a little aviation term there for you. Anyway.
Yeah, hey, I appreciate that. Yeah.
but the it was painful to watch on a weekly basis. And so started throwing some emails back and forth to Gary, and of course, before I did it, I knew that looking around to be able to have that event, it would take some help from the Eastern Allies, and so kind of started the wheels turning at that point in time, probably about January. It'll be a year ago this coming January, and we went ahead and scheduled Gary and locked and loaded and made the commitment, and that's when all the fun started.
You know, listening to your Kevin story, it's amazing how similar our journeys have been, because I was up here in the cave working with about the same amount of guys, you know, about 40 guys, and I'm looking at their lives, and one thing is they understand some about God, and we're getting to live in this message now that we took home from Ransom Heart. But the one thing I felt like we were all short on was, who are we? What was their identity? And so that's why we called Gary in. I mean, we called him in because this is the help that we needed. And I think as men, we've sat for so long in church looking forward, paying attention to the stories from the pulpit and maybe hearing the pastor's story. We've heard that for so long, we've unintentionally de-emphasized our own stories. And so I think one of the reasons why so many men don't know who they are is we haven't been trained to live observed lives. And so being able to get Gary to come out here and do a retreat was leading edge for us. I mean, I think what you're describing, a bad economy, marriages getting taken out, there's a lot of transition going on. Guys don't know what to do. And I feel that as if this is the thing that needs to be recovered. We need to have a retreat where the retreat's not about some guy standing up there and waxing eloquent, but the retreat's about you and about your journey and about who you are and where you're going, you know? And so we have such a similar journey. Even our fathers are both 86 years old. It's my dad. He's 86 years old. He's still playing tennis, by the way. Amazing old man. But now, Gary, I would like to ask you, what was it like from your perspective going to the cave? Here's this thing that's been operating for a number of years now. What was your experience, Gary, going in?
Now, Jeff, you mean the barn, right, when you say the cave?
Yeah, I meant the barn. Yeah, the barn. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Well, actually, you know, I've never been in the barn. Now a lot of the guys from the barn, from what Kevin told me, came to the calling retreat and that we did just a couple months ago. And I'll tell you what was amazing, and I love when I see this, to hear the impact that Kevin and Maxwell Haynes and these guys have had in these guys' lives, who they would start telling their story. And they would go back a little ways, and they'd say, then when I started going to the barn, this is what started to change. I mean, every man gave me their story unsolicited, and the barn was always in the center of it. So it was so amazing to know Kevin and to say, okay, this man and what others on his team have done have changed these men's lives. You know, and I get to have a small part of this just to kind of speak to this one part of their journey and their walk, this idea of their calling. But it was just great after knowing these guys for a while and then seeing all these men that have been impacted by the barn. That was a great experience.
Yeah, and to me it would sound like the message that you gave wouldn't have given you as much pay dirt, so to speak, if Kevin hadn't done done all the work, or these guys they've been meeting for such a long time and soaking in this. I think that's a good backdrop for these sorts of retreats.
It's huge. It's huge. I'll tell you, I've been to places where the guys have very little background or understanding of their heart, how to go there, what to do with it when they find it. And this is, I mean, this has been the calling material, such a huge leap from that for them. But with these guys at the barn who came to the retreat, I mean, they were just right there. All we were doing is just, you know, I was just pushing the ball a few inches more, and they were getting it and running with it. So it made all the difference in the world.
I want to get to talking about the barn. I want to talk about the men and what we're seeing in this country right now. I'd love to open that up. But before I do, Kevin, I'd like to ask you, having just experienced an exploration weekend where not only did you get the calling material again, which is probably good because when you're hosting a retreat, you're not as present as you are when you just get to show up at one, you know. And so having just experienced the calling the exploration weekend with the intensive, what was your takeaway with you on that weekend? What did you hear about yourself?
Well, I have to tell you, after doing the calling, and this the calling retreat was the first, I would say, big major retreat type thing that I've ever been a part of and that we've done with the barn. And so it was an extremely rewarding, but there was a lot of work with that. And so when I said, man, I really want to go to this exploring, I want to get some of the things that I didn't get at the calling retreat just because I was too busy or I was focusing, making sure that things were going well. And so on one side of me, I really wanted to go out there and get what I had missed. The other part of me is, man, I just want to go out there and, if you can picture this, lay down in a river and let the water rush over me. I have to tell you, it was more like someone duct taped me to a chair and set me in front of a fire hydrant and turned it on full blast. But in a good way. Please don't take anything but good away from that, because I went out there with wrong expectations, and it was, when they say it's an intensive, it is an intensive, and
So, and going through this, the exercises leading up to it, you know, you're sitting there, okay, why are we doing all this? And even just the exercises, the picture exercise, for instance, just putting names and words to these pictures that you have selected just randomly that speak to you, that really aren't necessarily connected with any part of you, but just, you know, a picture speaks to you, you save it, and then you put a word to it, and the connection that makes with your heart, and then when you start sharing that with other men and how that comes back to you, it floored me. It floored me, mm-hmm. And I learned things about myself in that and heard things from other guys that I guess that I'd been thinking and that I'd been wanting and that I'd been feeling, but I really did not know how to put words to them. I didn't know how
That's
to put
good.
Words to their thoughts and feelings. So that as far as a 20,000 foot look is what the event did for me. There's definitely
yeah.
some split points as far as takeaways within.
Yeah.
That, so.
Hey, now, Kev, just on that, I want to hit the pause button for a second. I would just like to add with that, you know, the same thing happened to me. There were some things that I had suspected might be true about my life, you know, but then when I came home from that retreat and those guys spoke what I had suspected back to me, these guys who didn't know me, I couldn't deny it anymore. I came home, I thought, I have to live this way. What more evidence do I need? The evidence is in me, and then we're called out in that intensive. And so I came home with a newfound purpose. I was just, I've got to do this, you know, with my life. And the other observation also in the intensive is, isn't it amazing what the other guys can give you in feedback, you know? Often there might be guys that you don't even know. Sometimes you have the luxury of circling up with guys that you do know, and I think you knew most of the guys in your group. Is that right?
Yeah. And you know what? And you know, we weren't exactly sure how to navigate that. We, you know, there was we were very fortunate to have four of us come out there, and we were in a group together, which was really good with us because we knew some of each other's stories, but. You know, part of the other thing is together being able to come back to the barn with this and being able to offer some of this to the other guys, you know, short of having Gary come to the barn, you know, and absolutely just doing that because, you know, the thing that came to me was truly living in this mystery thing. You know, and I know that Gary threw out one scripture, I think it was, you know, about knowing things in part and prophesying in part. And I want to preface this. I go to a church that is known for being prophetic. So I'm in and around this all the time with people speaking. And, you know, we have prophetic teams and into that. And so I'm used to that. But not on the level that I experienced over this exploration weekend. It was for me, the message that came out of that really was being okay with not knowing everything, you know, with being okay
right.
with the mystery of things, that God is the director and the producer of this play, and he's
yeah.
the one orienting me in all of this.
Yeah. Yeah, that's a powerful session, the mystery sec. Yeah. You know, I had a conversation with a friend who's a pastor in the last couple of weeks, and one of the things he fears the most is if someone would speak up at church. You know, I'm not sure what the fear is, whether it's not going to be theologically correct or it could lead to heresy or chaos. And there's this big fear of guys actually speaking up. And I feel like that's where I mainly disagree with him. I part company with him on that because I actually think the gold in a meeting is actually in the people who attend. They're just not really ever really given a chance to speak. And so when you get four guys together and the gold that comes out of feedback towards you is just amazing. I mean, these guys have the Spirit of God living in them. They have insight. They've never been just given a place to voice the insight that they are able to give. And so that's the other thing I love about the intensive is this round table of men who are for each other and are looking for, yes, the things that block the glory of your life, but they're going deeper and looking for actually the glory of your life, that the focus is on, like you were saying in the beginning, the focus is on what's good in your life, that, hey, you know what, boys? If we're really going to move in the kingdom, we got to start looking at what's true about who God is and who you are. And you need to start believing this, you know? So it's the feedback from the guys that just absolutely floors me.
And I had an unfair advantage probably because these guys know me and they love me to begin with, you know, where a lot of guys might not have had that. So, you know, for me, it was truly, another incision on a deeper level, and really, without knowing, I was going there for that. One of our brothers, he went there. Just he said, "Man, I'm opening my heart. I'm going to be He was extremely vulnerable. He was just laying his heart out there because he was ready for the surgery that was going to take place. And I don't think that he came away disappointed. I think it happened. And you know, for more healing, and more life, more direction. You know, just more is a big heading there for sure.
Right,
hey, Kevin.
Right,
Kevin. There was a question that Michael Thompson asked, and he earlier on the chat line, and he asked, What were the revelations, the takeaways for you from the picture exercise when you did it in December?
The picture exercise, I thought that at first these were just cool pictures, but I did not understand how much they were part of my identity, my deep down identity, and what happened was wasn't anything that I identified, but you know, there's a picture of a bridge, and obviously you know I put the word connection under that, and having the guy speak back to me that I was a bridge. You know, to them I just saw this covered bridge. It was cool, and then beauty, I had second thoughts about putting the picture of this, it's a woman, it's just her head, but she's kind of leaned back, her eyes are closed, and, you know, just the beautiful of that. And I know how much that has been robbed, in my past, and the guys spoke to that. Some of the things where there was a picture of friendship and community. And so, I mean, I had no idea when I was picking out those pictures that they would speak to me that way. And it took me back anything from visions of my dad to pictures of me in my days away from the Lord to where I was just in this really lonely place to, walking with my son and being in community. So I don't know. I really don't know how to explain it other than that. It's just that the meaning of the pictures came alive, and it wasn't anything that you could manufacture or plan on. It's in you. It's in your heart. And I think it was an awesome exercise.
Yeah. I think that's one of the big revelations.
It was an experience. Yeah.
I think that's one of the big revelations that you can offer a man is that it's in you. Your calling isn't something you're looking for. It's out there. If I just find it, it's in you. You know, it's just a matter of uncovering what's already in you.
Yeah. You know, I guess the other thing was putting some words to those thoughts, as I mentioned earlier, thoughts and feelings that I had before, not only just through some of the exercises that actually I had experience with
with Michael on The Rich Uncle and a couple of the passion verbs and really took it to a deeper level. But getting the feedback from that to the guys or from the guys on a personal level, just a couple of things there, just, you know, about what I wouldn't have been without some of the things that I've been through. Not my new history replacing some of my old history. I mean, it just makes so much sense to me, and how comfortable we get. It's just like the series. You sit here and you go through some profound changes in going through the wound, and then you get comfortable in that profound heaviness, and then you get stuck in that heaviness. We've got to come out of that somehow. And so you can't deny that those things happen, but you got to keep on marching forward with life and get to the new history and the truer, newer things that are going on in our life, because we've taken some ground in those areas.
Yeah, amen. So I want to ask you a question, Kevin. Having experienced everything you've experienced, and you have a history now, starting with the 200 men back in 1990 and the foxhole, having gone out to Ransom Heart, starting and being part of the barn, having Gary come out, you're as qualified as anybody to answer a question. Where do you think, what's going on with men in this country and their faith? What's working out that's good for men, and what are some of the things that are really coming against us today as Christian men in the United States?
I think that not being willing to step out and not feeling like they have to. There's a best way I can answer this. We just had a gentleman who has been, you know, he's been walking with the Lord for 35 years. He knows the Bible inside out and backwards. And 2 years ago, he would say, I don't need a group of men. I don't need a barn. Me and Jesus were okay. And he came to the barn searching for something because he was really concerned about a 21-year-old son. So they've been there for, you know, almost 2 years now. And what he's discovered is a heart relationship with Jesus that he had never had before. And so the thing is I think it's the head getting away of the heart and people not understanding the message of the heart and how important the heart is. And I think that that men have lost heart. And I know that was my story. I didn't have a clue who I was, didn't think I needed anything, but these guys, whether they're successful or not, in some value, they've been successful in not being in touch with their heart and living from a full and a wholeness of heart, or at least being on a journey to obtain that. And I think that a lot of guys, they don't want to go back. They don't want to remember, you know, that whole thing, a wound that you can't touch is a wound that's not healed, and guys don't want to go into that. So I think that they're afraid, and that they're truly, it's that same thing, fear of exposure, the trust, that guys just don't want to go there. So I believe that that's been one of the places we've been somewhat successful at the barn, is creating a safe place where what's said there stays there, where there is no judgment, and guys might go in there with one idea, but they leave with another. And, this one guy I'm talking about, he would sit there and tell you he is in love with Jesus in a way that he never thought possible now, because it's something. There's been a bridge, once again, that has been connected from his head to his heart. And I think that just like when I first saw, Gary and the Ransom Heart team up on the stage, and Michael Thompson alluded to this at our calling event, he said, you know, what do we do this for? We want friends. We want to be friends with oriented men. And when I saw what those guys had up on that stage, I know I wanted that. with all my heart, and I didn't think it was available to me. And I think that that's where most men are today. They don't think that that is available for them. And, you know, it's not idealistic. It can happen, and it's there. But, you know, it's not going to come to you. So I think the hardest thing is taking that first step, and it might be inviting somebody to a coffee shop or inviting someone down a one-mile gravel road to a barn and being afraid you're going to hear the banjo start playing any second now. But whatever it is, just it needs to happen, and that they have to push through that fear. And so I think that's what it is more than anything else, is the fear. It's the fear of the unknown, fear of the past, fear of the future. And it's scary. So, you know, the way he illustrates it about when he does his vault and you get disoriented, the first thing you do is you protect your neck. And that's how guys live, because they know a fall's coming. They're just waiting for the hit to come. And I think that's where most guys.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, what's interesting about what you're saying, Kevin, is that you looked up on stage and you saw what those guys had and you wanted that. And I think Father has given you that. It sounds like you've got a group of guys who love you and are in this. You're doing something larger than yourself now. You know, you're in something greater than yourself. You need support from other guys. And I would assume on some level you've experienced this now in your own life.
Yeah, it is, and I have, and you know, one of the other things that came out of the exploration is that, you know, it kind of tags on the new history replacing the old history, is the battle to accept the good things that have happened in my life, and that if I don't learn to accept those things, I don't get to be me. So, you know, in my journey, I've come a long way. But, you know, like so many guys, we're never satisfied. We want more. And we've been around so much diminishment, we say, oh, we're not doing anything. We're not achieving anything. But we have to get to the place where we accept, man, something good is happening. And we hear the testimonies. And, you know, one of the other things that came to me through that feedback is about, you know, that I would just encourage any man out there who is not, you know, on a weekly basis, involved with other guys or if they are, to not franchise anything. As our facilitator said, is when something is unique and gives life, it will be a target. And we've experienced that side of things too, but the life side of it is so much better and so much greater, and is so worth it. And it's worth it. Doing a calling retreat is worth it. Doing the weekly fellowship with other men, it is so worth it, no matter what you go through, for sure.
Well, there you go, guys. That's our commercial for a calling retreat that you guys might want to host. It's definitely worth it. He's talking about his facilitator, Kevin is. That was Dan Geyer. Is that right, Kevin? Is that who you had for facilitator?
Yeah,
the doctor
absolutely.
Himself.
Quite
a character. And you're talking to my heart right now when you say that if there's something that's alive, it's going to be opposed, you know. And without a doubt, you know, and guys have to be oriented to that, you know, that, hey, this coming together and this nourishment that we're getting from and life from these meetings, it's going to be opposed. You know, you're going to want to quit. You're going to take offense with somebody, you know, that sort of thing. And how do you get a guy to get past, let me ask you this, Kevin, how do you get a guy to get kind of past that, see that there's an enemy and that there's this stay with the group, you know, there's things to learn here, you know, don't take offense or run away, you know, don't protect yourself, you know, but just come and be vulnerable. And how do you get a guy to do that?
You know, we have to hammer it just about weekly. And actually, sometimes more than once a week. Our format is we get the guys in a larger group, maybe show a few clips, throw some ideas out there, and then we get them into the small groups, because we know that that is where the real stuff happens. A friend of ours used to say that the most important meeting is the meeting after the meeting. So we want to get them to that second or third meeting as soon as we can, because that's where the good stuff happens. And And so the guys who are leading those groups, you know, constantly remind the guys, okay, guys, here's what we're doing. Here's, and a lot of guys say, you know, it's easier to describe what the barn isn't versus what it is. But here's what we're not. We're not teaching. We're not doing all this counseling, all that kind of stuff. Now, that stuff goes on, but that's not, that, you know, there's no guideline for this. And just, you know, we even use, there's a scripture, Luke 8:18, talks about be careful how you hear. One translation says that, you know, that even the things that you think you know, if you're not listening, will be taken from you. And so we just tell the guys to listen well and to share their story, and also just to offer up that we might, you know what, we might hack them off, but our hearts towards them is good, and to push through and to get beyond this offense that is so, you know, in a big church, someone hacks you off, you can go to the other side of the church, you don't have to see them for 6 months. In the barn,
right,
that doesn't happen. So you know what? You know, I've had to grow a little bit of thick skin. There's a little bit of fallout, but, you know, I also have to have a belief that God is going to have who he wants there when he wants them there for the right season, and it's not about me anyway. But that's the truth. We have to just hammer that home and say, hey, let's get beyond that, guys, and let's do some work here.
Yeah. Did come across, I'm reading this book called The Worst Journey in the World. It's by a British guy. His name is Cherry Gillard. And he's talking about an Arctic expedition in the early 1900s. It's the Scott Expedition. And so it has a lot of difficulties on this, like, three-year expedition. And he started to talk about what was the best kind of traveler. And he said, we had many such officers and seamen of success of the expedition, was in no small measure due to the general unselfish way in which personal likes and dislikes, wishes and tastes were ungrudgingly subordinated to the commonwealth. And, you know, just that understanding that, you know, these guys on the expedition, it was life or death for them. They had to work together. They had to cooperate with each other. And so they subordinated their likes and dislikes for the other man. And so the best Arctic traveler was actually a guy who thought of others more than himself. They were the most valuable guys on the expedition, you know. And I think that's one of those things that has to be developed in a guy, you know, in a group of men. It's just not something that you get right away, you know. But just to have a few guys like that around you that see the mission as more important than themselves, you know, I think is critical.
Yeah. Well, and one of the things we've discovered, you know, because we have guys just, you know, that are all over the place, guys that are in good places, guys that are not in great places right now, we also know that everyone's story is different. And then that orientation that you're talking about, for some guys might be 3 months. For some guys, it might be 2 years. And believe
yeah.
me, in the course of the process, there's guys that after a year and a half that I'd love just to slam them up against the wall. And then all of a sudden, God does something in their heart, and it changes them. And I'm saying, okay, sorry, God. I guess you are actually doing something here. So that orientation process is different for everyone. And you're right, it doesn't just happen automatically, but don't give up on it.
Yeah. So, Kevin, what's it like trying to run an independent men's group? I mean, how do you support this thing? Do you guys have something where you could take in money? I mean, there's got to be an expense, not only financially, but with your time. How do you do that and work?
We're still trying to figure that out. I guess we came underneath an umbrella ministry a little over a year ago, Faith in the Family International. Really great guys. Matter of fact, these are guys that helped put on the deal when the team went to Washington, D.C. to bring the message there to those 2,000 guys. A lot of guys have heard about that. Marty Granger and Faith in the Family International. So we came underneath them just because we don't, you know, there's nobody really full time. There's no employees. It's a volunteer deal. And for the most part, for a long time, it was me. And then it's you know, we've got some guys that are stepping up now. And so we didn't start out to be a ministry. We didn't plan it this way. And you may have heard me say it, we feel like the dog that caught the car. We're trying to figure out what to do with it. And unfortunately, mm-hmm. where we are, well, fortunately, really, that we're having to put some organizational things to it without, we don't want to change the character. We don't want to take anything away of what our identity is. But so we have been able to obtain the 501c3 status, and you know, because of our own woundings, it's just hard to talk about money, and we don't. But we're to the point now where we have to, and just trying to get a group of guys together in a cohesive unit to, as a team, to start working towards some of those things that, you know, most of these other ministries do to support themselves. But you know, we've got our website at barnbrothers.org, and you know, we can receive through PayPal there, and you know, which is wonderful, and we just kind of really started that. But you know, we are what we try to pay for more than anything else is our facility, and we want to get guys to these events. We want to be able to send guys to Top Gun. We want to send them to the boot camps, to the calling retreats. We want every guy to be able to have that, you know, not only the sustainability of the weekly deal, but for them to have that catalytic experience that a lot of us have shared. That's the reason that we're on this phone call together right now. And so
right.
I want to get everybody I can to one of those. So yeah, you know, part of our funding would be for a war chest, you know, for that. And we even have this crazy dream of actually buying the barn one day. You know, we lease it
yeah.
now, and the owner underwrote things for quite some time. But, you know, we're having to step up now. And it's hard, especially in this economy. So we're navigating that territory as best as we can right now, Jeff, and feel real good about what's going to happen in 2012.
Well, you know what's amazing is that you guys are doing this without any income. The fact that you're doing it probably because you're compelled to do it really says more about your calling and what God is doing in your life than anything to me. And then on the other hand, you get to a point where you have to kind of make a decision. Hey, we got to raise funds in order to keep this going. And I think what we need, I think me, the Barn Expeditions of the Heart, Gary Barklow, Michael Thompson, guys like us, we need to find a spokesman who can go around to guys who have the resources to be able to go, listen, there are guys outside of the institution that are making a profound impact on lives. You know, the fact that, you know, I love that part in the Mission Men and Me where this guy Pete Blaber says a small ops group can have a large impact in the war. You know, even though there's not great numbers or things like that, but this face-to-face time that you're offering these guys is probably having more effect in the kingdom than you know, a large institution where, you know, 5,000 people come in and you're lonely in a crowd, so to speak. You know, just the things that you guys are offering, it'd be good to find a guy who can go around and articulate this to people that can actually fund something like this. You know, because from what all I'm seeing, I'd be one of those guys that stood up to bat for you guys, Kevin and Bob. These guys are worth it. You know, and so the one thing I want to say is do not judge your worth based on the fact of where you are financially. You know, you can't do that. You know, it just doesn't work that way in the kingdom. You want to hear that from your other brothers. And from what I've seen of you guys, I just want to say you're worth it, you know.
Well, you know, we're not going to stop. And
and when you you go through some tough times, but when you hear the stories, when you hear the testimonies, when you see a guy who could hardly get out of bed and get a word out of his mouth, when you see life come to him and him being able to share his heart with others, and you see marriages restored, and you see the stories of the men's lives, you know, that's enough to get you going and to keep you going, whether there's
yeah.
money or not. But, you know, we need the money too. You know, everybody does.
Yeah.
And
right.
and my biggest thing in all of this is, as we take this journey together, I mean, we have been the recipients of scholarships to go to retreats, and we've tried to help guys get there, but I don't want to be a burden on any ministry. I think it's an atrocity for when we're trying to bring this message to men and change our friends, our communities, our families, the way that we are, for anyone to go in the red. And so, you know, I'm trying to be very careful in doing that. And so I think what you're suggesting, I love the idea of the alliance and where we work together and where we don't cannibalize each other. I love that. And I have hope for that, and just want to see more of this happening. You know, with what's happening with Expeditions and Noble Heart and you know, Zoe and all the great guys out there. I love what everybody's doing, and I'm just really honored and thankful to be a part of it.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that, and I'm with you on the alliance, and maybe more to come on that. We can have our own talk on that. I know we only paid you for an hour here, but we'll go into overtime for just one more question. We got a great question online, and it's one really worthy of you, and I want to ask it just as much as the caller asked, and that is, so many men's groups start out strong and then fizzle out real quick. How have you guys been able to sustain this over the years? Is it because you're independent, you think, or what is it that has sustained the barn?
Well, I'll try to do the short answer. One of my pastors came up to me and asked me to start a home group. I said, my heart's really for men's ministry. And in my heart, I really wanted him to get behind me and help me start a men's ministry. And he didn't. And I walked away there a little bit hurt, but I went ahead and started. And I think that so many of those people have an idea, and I appreciate what he said, because everyone has an idea. We need people that'll do something, and so I was compelled to do it. And but I didn't try to we've never tried to manufacture it. We never said, okay, here are the six guys that are going to be my band of brothers, and you know, this is what it's going to look like. We had no idea. It's really been a walk with God and say, God, you know what? You used a donkey. Hopefully you can use me somehow and try to be obedient in that. And you know what? And these guys get what Gary has offered and these other ministries, Ransom Heart, and, you know, we love Gordon Dalby and McManus, what these guys have offered and have studied over their lives are golden nuggets, and to be able to present those in a way in the context is guys show up at the barn and say, hey, this is something different, you know, and
yeah.
we do. We've got a great spot, you know, to be able to do that. But, to, you know, we can't really take any credit. We just try to stay true to who we are. A lot of guys come in and say, oh, you need to be out, you know, you need to be a part of us on this evangelistic brigade and you know, whatever else. I love all that stuff happening, but that's not who we are, and that's not what we do. We've just tried to stay
Amen.
True to who we are and organic and try to provide that holy disruption and kick the religious spirit in the teeth every chance we get. Sorry.
Amen. That is a great answer. So Robert, who asked the question, that would be one of the keys, is if you get something going that's life, all of a sudden you'll be asked to be a moving company for a church, for old ladies, or visit the poor. All good things, but it'll take you away from your initial mission of getting together for each other for life. And so this idea of kicking the religious spirit in the teeth, you know, the Judaizer who wants to come into your group
and put everybody under accountability and things like that. Those are the guys that you got to stand up to, you know. And so there's some good, you know, maybe we got to write, you know, some of the things that keep a men's group going that we've faced, you know. And so that's a great answer. Okay, guys, I just want to say Kevin, I'm going to give you last words here, so think of your last words to us. But it's after 9 o'clock now. Gary's not here, so we can't open up the lines. So I apologize for that. If you do have any questions, you can email me, and I'll get them to Kevin, especially if you'd like to visit the barn. Or if you would like to give to the barn, that would be awesome. So we'll close down the call now, but I just want to say, Kevin, do you have any kind of last words for us, what we're doing, what you've experienced through the Noble Heart, or anything like that?
Well, you know, I would just offer that, you know, when we first started the barn, as I said earlier, we didn't really know what this was going to turn into. We didn't even know that we would still be going. We offered it to the Lord and said it's His. And I think that is what has made ministries like the Noble Heart, Ransom Heart, and others grow. It's not trying to franchise it, but I would just offer, if it's in your heart to do it, this whole thing about how do you sustain it, you have to have the want to. And you can't do it alone. There has to be a couple of guys in there, and it starts with one. So, and if you're even thinking about, if it's ever been a thought to do a calling retreat, Gary didn't ask me to say this, but I'm just telling you, go for it. go for it, and you know what? Put on your armor, because everything's going to come at you. And I just say this as a testimony. 3 weeks before ours, I committed to 50 guys. We had 22 that wanted to go, and 8 needed scholarships. We wound up with 68 men and paid our bills. And it was a wonderful thing. And God showed up. And God will show up at your barn or your cave or whatever you want to do. So I just say, jump in and do it. Everything that you will encounter on the journey will be worth it, good and bad. And there's a lot of joy in that journey. And so I'm just I'm thankful for the Noble Heart, thankful for you, Jeff, and it's been an honor to speak with the guys and let me flap my gums a little bit tonight, because I love it, and I'm excited about what God's going to do in 2012 in all our lives. And I just appreciate it. Really thankful for you.
Okay, Kevin, you did more than flap your gums. I just want to give you some feedback on what the guys are saying on the chat line, which you can't see, is that they love you and your heart. So, it's just good to get that kind of support. So I just wanted to tell you that. And thank you so much. And I look forward to going down and seeing you and visiting the barn soon.
Well, they can visit us at barnbrothers.org if they want to, or you know, feel free to email me. You've got my email if you want to put it out there or whatever. So that's great.
Okay. Well, thanks, guys. Really appreciate you being here. That was fun. We had a lot of guys on here tonight, and so really good to see you. I wish I could open up the lines, and we'll do that next time we get together. So just signing All right. off. Have a great New Year's, guys. Looking forward to 2012 and fighting alongside of you. God bless, and we'll see you next week.